Broncos country. Let's ride.
Breaking news.
Michael Bruns.
This is the second time that breaking news has happened right when I come on the show. That's a good life lesson to be learned in all this. If you're going to give somebody over $100 million, make sure they're not weird.
Michael Bruns, Husker 24/7.
All right, we're joined now on the 42 Degrees Source Hotline by our good friend Michael Bruns of Husker 24/7. Bruns, good afternoon. How are you?
Not bad. What's going on?
Good. Are you just dreading what the Broncos are going to do at 12 tonight, or what? How you feeling?
Dread's a good word. I like dread. That pretty much encompasses the experience of being a Denver Broncos fan these days.
So you're gonna have a week where you unveil horrible uniforms, you trade for Zach Wilson, and you screw up a first round draft pick. Sounds exciting.
Yes. It'll be even better if they can trade back to get more draft picks to screw up. That would be the ideal move there, I think, is to somehow do that.
It would be, yeah.
Or somehow trade up and get a quarterback when you just traded for a bad one. I don't know what they're going to do, but...
Yeah, but they'll mess that up, too. Like, whichever quarterback they draft, it'll be the wrong one.
Yeah, I'll say this, and this is my positive voice spin on things that have happened with Denver recently. By getting Zach Wilson, that probably limits the chance that they're going to pick J.J. McCarthy in the draft. So
that's good.
Things are looking up, but my Minnesota Vikings colleagues around the Husker 24/7 offices today were trying to figure out what the JJ and JJ McCarthy stands for, because they might have to get used to that.
They are walking on pins and needles, because every mock draft that I've ever seen is like, yeah, I think the Vikings are probably going to trade up to 4 or 5 and take him. That seems like the most likely outcome. So they're just praying for, you know, not that. Whatever we can get to have that not happen, it seems like, is their plan.
There were some mocks a couple weeks ago that had Denver also taking a quarterback, maybe in the third round, and that quarterback would be Spencer Rattler. I don't know if that's any better, but I don't know. Me personally, I'd love to buy a ticket on the Michael Penix roller coaster, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Mm. Yeah, that one seems like a ride that everybody seems okay with getting on at this point. Brett, speaking of buying a ticket, you bought a ticket to Paul Skeens Day at Warner Park yesterday. Tell us about your VIP front row experience.
Yeah, that was a very professional transition you had there.
Thank you.
Seeing 100 miles an hour up close, you don't get to see that very often. And the other thing they don't really prepare you for, 6'6", 245 pounds, standing on a pitcher's mound looks like...
Yeah.
Like, it's like 9 feet tall with a mustache out there, just like pumping 100. That's what it was.
And, dude, last year, I mean, he was... He's probably 20 pounds down from what he was last summer, too. Like, he was just a monster last year.
Yeah. No, it was impressive. And I was kind of sitting there reading up on all the Paul Skeens pitches as he was throwing them in front of me. And you don't often see somebody go 98, 98, 95 splitter and then follow that up with a slider that nobody could touch.
Yeah, did he drop in the splinker yesterday?
Threw a lot of them.
There were some splinkers in there, and a changeup that didn't really look much like a changeup. So,
yeah,
it was really impressive. But it's one of those things where like you kind of just got to go see it, and he needs to get up in the majors soon because he has no business being in AAA.
Yes, that was my exact takeaway too from having seen him very few times in AAA so far this year. It's like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe if he hasn't allowed a run through 15 innings, he probably just shouldn't be there. So,
do we talk enough about the fact that like this guy was at Air Force playing catcher like a couple of years ago? Like
literally 2 years ago. Yeah,
it's pretty remarkable.
It's amazing. And no, we do not talk about that enough. I tried to talk about it a lot last summer, but it's actually even more amazing now that he should be in the major leagues when he was at Air Force playing catcher literally 2 years ago. Okay, Brunts. Okay, another incredible transition from college baseball to college baseball.
Uh-huh.
Nebraska. What do they need to do this weekend, in your opinion? Like, I mean, there's enough consternation in the midweek. They took care of business last weekend and in the weekend. Like, what is your expectation for a weekend series against Iowa?
Yeah, I mean, you got to win the series. I mean, that's where things are at right now for this team. I mean, there's still, you know, midweek consternation being what it is. They're still number 23 in the RPI. And, you know, there's still an opportunity for them to get some things done. Iowa is playing really good baseball right now. And, you know, at the start of the season, there were probably like two other teams in the Big Ten that I would have said, you know, could probably match Nebraska for their weekend staff, Rutgers being one and Iowa being the other. I mean, there's you don't often see in the Big Ten a guy who's like a top 20 draft prospect throwing on Sundays as a junior.
No.
And Nebraska.
But also usually top 20 draft prospects throw more strikes as well.
Yes.
So,
they don't need 80 pitches to get through three innings typically. but no, I mean, I was playing really good baseball. You know, Brody Breck coming off of a really good start against Rutgers. And, you know, it's kind of gut check time for this team. I mean, you've been, you know, in this little bit of slump, kind of not even a slump, like up and down, inconsistent baseball for a couple weeks, and you got to find a way to snap out of that. So, you know, maybe you get some good crowds, maybe the uniform in the opposite dugout gets you going a little bit, but you just need to play more consistent baseball because, you know, the midweek stuff aside, I mean, you know, they've been pretty good on weekends. You just have to avoid the games like you had last week against Maryland where you get absolutely dominated on Saturday. So it's a tall test.
Yeah.
They're up to it.
Brunts, I know I'm kind of preaching to the choir because you know this as well as anybody, but Nebraska, I mean, everyone's trying to find their reason for struggles in the midweek and blaming this and do they care, do they not care, and whatever. From my standpoint, it's a pretty simple explanation, which is their pitching is just not deep enough. And I don't know that it doesn't have to be. Obviously, it'd help you in the midweek and get some, you know, better RPI wins there if you're able to find that. But maybe they just don't have it. I don't know that it, like, tells a huge story about this team that they are trying to piece it together on Tuesday and Wednesday, but yet they have a pretty consistent rotation on the weekend. Like, I'd rather have that and struggle in the midweek than kind of the other way around, like basically what Creighton has done this year.
Yeah, it's an interesting, like if you compare last year's pitching staff to this year's pitching staff, like the cast of characters has changed on the weekend. But, you know, last year it was Olsen and Kaminska. This year it's been Sears and, you know, largely McConaughey of late. And then, you know, Sunday was a little bit of a toss-up. They finally got somebody to go five innings on a Sunday last weekend, which that was the first time that it happened this year. And, you know, I think they've improved the depth of the bullpen on the back end, the higher leverage guys. But I think what you're seeing is that Nebraska still doesn't have the kinds of the depth that you kind of need in midweeks where you need somebody that can go get you three or four innings consistently, you know, maybe go through the lineup once, maybe twice if you're getting greedy. And, you know, they don't have that. And I think guys that they were maybe expecting to fill those roles aren't there yet. I mean, I think ideally they would have had Ty Horn be able to go out and give them three on a Tuesday night, or, you know, not have to use Walsh on Sunday. Because you'd have Drew Christo kind of firing on weekends. You'd move Walsh to the weekdays. You know, that they haven't been able to do that. And, you know, you look at the way things have gone. I mean, they just have not been able to get off to good start in midweek games. And, you know, the offense hasn't, you know, at times has held up its end. But, you know, you also need to not have to make three runs stand up on a Tuesday night. I mean, those are the types of games where you want to be you know, if it gets ugly on you, you want it to be a 10-8 game, not a 3-2 game, or really kind of put your pitching in that kind of a pressure spot when, you know, it's already kind of precarious anyway.
Yeah. As far as I'm totally with you on all that. I mean, as far as postseason stuff is concerned, I mean, we're getting down pretty close to it. We're about to turn the calendar over to May, and you know, Nebraska looks like they're in the thick of it anyway in the Big Ten race. But I guess where would you kind of place them right now? The RPI picture looks pretty good. I personally don't buy into the hosting contention thing. Like, do you at this point?
No, I mean, you're at the point now where, I mean, you're 23 in the RPI, and let's say you get on a real heater here. There's not a ton of upside RPI games left on the schedule. I mean, Iowa could be that a little bit. You've got midweeks against K-State and Creighton, which are potential helpers there. But down the stretch, there's just not a ton left that you can do there. And with the way the Big Ten is this year, you know, the way forward for Nebraska was going to have to be that you're going to have to win a lot of games early, which Nebraska did. I mean, they set themselves up really well with the way they played in February and March. But you were also going to have to not run the table, but be pretty dominant once you got into the midweeks and the conference season. And, you know, they're just at the point now, unfortunately, that by virtue of playing baseball, it's not going to help the RPI a ton. So, you know, they're... do we call it the bubble? They're kind of on the bubble right now for that. I think they're probably going to be on the outside looking in with that conversation, even if they kind of start rolling off wins here. But, you know, the 23 RPI, I mean, I think that's pretty strong right now, but you gotta start winning a few more games more consistently.
Michael Bruns of Husker 24/7. Bruns, what you go? Thanks for making time for us this afternoon. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you later.
Sounds good. Thanks.
All right, there he goes, Michael Bruns of Husker 24/7, talking baseball and midweek baseball and what's good about midweek baseball. If you're Creighton, a lot. If you're Nebraska, not a lot.
Not a thing.
I believe Nebraska in the midweek next week. Just the Tuesday and Wednesday, it's Creighton and K-State,
okay.
Both of which are pretty decent teams. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it doesn't end anytime soon, but I do think there's an awful lot of, like, hand-wringing over it for nothing. We're talking about bits and pieces there. Tuesday at Creighton and then Wednesday at home against Kansas State before heading to Minnesota for the weekend. They're one of the rare teams who actually gets to play baseball outdoors in the state of Minnesota.
Minnesota!
The first, like, you know until June, mm-hmm. I guess, starts. All right, we'll come back. Poll questions, tell you what to watch. Before we get to the crossover and the Connor Happer Show in 1620 The Zone.